So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, and we thank you that we can gather. And Lord, we thank you that there is a momentum, Lord, in our lives. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that even as tonight when we get an introduction, Lord, to what it means to please you, Father, we thank you, Lord, that even our confidence is that you who have begun a good work in us, you will complete it, and you will perform it on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even as we meet together, Lord, we think of these things, that there is a day that is appointed, Lord, when your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will come and fetch his bride. So, Lord, we even pray that even tonight, Lord, that everything that is said, that it might be a record of great honor and, Lord, a record that is going to be written in our lives. And we pray that your love would abound in us, Lord, and that more and more that we would receive the knowledge that comes from you. And that knowledge is also sometimes received in judgment, Lord. But we pray that you would approve all things, and all things that are excellent, Lord, that we might abound more and more in your knowledge and in your judgment. And so, Father, we pray that we would be filled with the fruits of righteousness, and that we may be called of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, unto his glory, unto his honor, and that our lives might be unto your glory, unto your honor. And so, Father, we pray that that we would be able to receive with gladness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so last time that we were together, last week, we studied and considered the power of God's word that is available to us and how we can apply this into our lives, and that it would be of our good interest to follow the wonderful example of Jesus Christ. He pleased the Father by doing his will. He gave us a perfect illustration of a wise man, both heard and did the teachings and saying of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, we all have a deep yearning within us to please those that we come into contact with, those that are associates, even our loved ones. And we put a lot of effort into being accepted in a social world, that is amongst friends, or even at our place of work, or even in fellowship, that is where we go to church. And somehow, however, we seem to forget the important responsibility to please our ever-present Almighty God, who is our Heavenly Father. And most of us also have a fear of man. And this is because we are always ever-present in the physical before people. But God, being spirit, is not seen with the natural eyes, hence is often forgotten about. And we are called to please him and also to fear him. However, this relationship should be one of trust. And within the child of God, there is should always be an ever-conscious awareness that one is continuously in the presence of God. Therefore, our prime purpose in life should be to please God and not having the fear of man. And we should be able to say the same words as the Apostle Paul when he stated in Hebrews 13 verse 6, where he says, "So I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." And Paul further said, "It is a little thing if I be judged of the man." And so, does it really matter if man condemns us or even persecutes us if God accepts us. So we shouldn't fear. We should rather fear God. And God holds the final say in our eternal destiny. And we only have a limited influence on the temporal life in which we live in the present. And so Jesus spoke these words in Matthew 10, verse 28, where he said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." And if we could only grasp the importance of these words, not only it is our responsibility to please God, but also to grasp the joy that follows a life that both pleases God now in this life and in eternity. And this joy embodies a blessing, both spiritual and physical. In other words, both materially as well. And last, through the trials of life, when one would normally despair or even perhaps give up. And the Apostle Paul, who was captivated by the need to please God and knowing the benefits of pleasing God, that he strongly pleaded with the believers of his day to also please God. And so 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 1 says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by Jesus Christ, that you receive from us how you ought to walk, and to please God, so you would abound more and more." So here we see that there is a pattern. There is obviously a calling and a command on our lives that we should walk a certain way and that we should act a certain way. And in that, we should always honor our Heavenly Father. And then there is this promise that we would abound. And what is that promise about abounding? And that is a deep subject. And here we clearly see the benefits of pleasing God. And we are shown the responsibility of our requirements to please God. And this is what abundant life is all about. And so, having accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we immediately become the soldiers of Christ. And by yielding to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we obey his commandments to uphold the standards of righteousness, fighting the power of darkness and sin in Jesus' name. And he says, having been chosen as a soldier, we ought to respect this privilege by pleasing the one who has chosen us. And that is in 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, where it says, let me just get it up here. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So sin and Satan are constantly destroying the life and joy of countless number of people today. People, even the very elect, are being beguiled by the power of sin. And our involvement in the affairs of this life draws us into sin's potential danger. And so not only do these affect or expose us to this danger, but one can become so ensnared that our time that ought to be dedicated to the Master, in other words, Jesus Christ, that is through the Word of God, becomes committed to the affairs of this life, where we start separating the Word and we start getting entangled with the affairs of this life. And notice in the verse that we just read, how Paul specifically warns us against becoming too entangled with this life. And we have a responsibility, and we have been called to please God. And an individual's divided attention is never very successful, and so God wants our undivided attention. However, God certainly does not expect us to neglect our everyday routines and responsibilities. We have to go to work. We have to tend to the things in our lives, otherwise we won't eat. We have to attend to those people around us as well, otherwise we won't have love amongst us. So there's a whole lot of other responsibility that God has called us into, but we have to get things in order. We have to first honor God. And so, you know, when we start honoring God, we become more effective in these things which are called responsibilities of this life. And so with new zeal and motive, because we've got God who we want to please first in order, these things will naturally be, if we'll be effective in them, in our place of work, in our, the body of Christ, in our social environments, etc. And so whereas we used to do well for our own reputation's sake, and perhaps even for financial gain, now we do our best to bring glory to the name of the Lord and Savior whom we have chosen to serve. And this scripture refers to us being chosen and therefore ought to please God. And we become partakers of the blessings, both materially and spiritually, through the life that pleases God. And one can go on writing volumes of various glories that will fill our existence if we just please God. And however, there is this one verse specifically that summarizes for us the great potential when we are pleasing God. And that is 1 John 3, verse 22, where it says, "And whatsoever we ask, we'll receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." And so we spoke last week about those that hear and do. And I'll get to that just now, but just remember the scripture. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. And here's the caveat, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And the word whatsoever that is used here is an all-embracing word. God puts no restrictions on our prayers, and he promises to give us all we should desire as we live to please him. And it is our invitation to be adventurous in asking and trusting our Heavenly Father for his provisions in our life. And so I want to get on to the main subject of tonight, which is a key to pleasing God. So a lot has been said about what we ought to do to please God, yet the importance does not hinge on what we do, rather the attitude of our heart behind the doing. God does not pretend to be satisfied with half measures. He gives himself totally. It's a total salvation. He is full of blessings to us. And he anticipates, therefore, total authority and lordship in our lives. And he wants us to live with total trust and confidence in him, taking him as his at his word and acting on it without any questions. And this is the requirement of faith. And to sum it up, all our deeds and actions must be in response to God's commands and with the desire to bring glory to his name. And faith and trust must accompany all that we do for God. The reason for this is that there will be times that God will call us to act, to do things without us understanding how or why we should be doing them. He may involve us in ventures beyond our natural capability. And our faith in him will cause obedience to his word, which makes us open channels for him to do through us what we are naturally not able to do. This is, brings a new light to, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is a condition. Make yourself available. Be pleasing unto him. All these things come into play. Notice how God insists on the basic principles of faith to please him. And that is Hebrews 11 verse 6 where it says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I must say that at this stage it may appear that we have left out the essential motive of love in our requirement to please God. Love is the essence that brought us to God in the first place. And it is this love that made us respond to his call in our lives. So it goes without saying that our desire to please God should not be motivated by a sense of duty, but rather motivated by love. And so, the source of faith. And you know which scriptures I'm getting to, because it says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, we see that it is impossible to please God without faith. So many ask, how do I obtain faith that is needed to please God? And many feel that they have a lack of faith required to please God. And sadly, many people do not know how to increase or even get faith. And in Luke 17 verse 5, the apostles, or the disciples at that stage that became apostles later, they asked Jesus to increase their faith. And this is a good starting point. We need to go to the author of faith to give us his faith. And so the Bible gives a very simple solution to this question, Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the Bible, which is God's word, has been given to generate within us the kind of faith required to please God. Just asking the Lord to give me the right words to say, because we've heard the scripture so often, but by the Holy Ghost, may it be refreshed in us. If we neglect to read or study the Bible, we will find that we are shortchanged in pleasing God, and there will be evidence of a lack of faith in a believer's life. And this verse says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. The more we read the word, the more we understand about God and his promises to us. We do not know our rights, and if we don't get to understand our rights, we will never make use of them. And even so, the emphasis is on hearing. This implies that one needs to hear the word of God to get faith. And it's essential that every believer makes themselves available to hear God's word by doing what pleases him. In other words, coming together, in other words, meetings, gatherings that had been instituted by God. Go and see Acts 2, verse 42. And in order to hear, one must be at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a decision between a Mary and a Martha situation. And to come under the sound of his word, where it is preached and taught in spirit and in truth. And if you don't have that place, then ask God, because he will lead you and guide you to a place where you will receive both spirit and truth. And taking God at his word is an act of faith which pleases God. He wants us to make full use of our rights according to his word, so that we might take our stand as children of God, and so therefore being citizens of the kingdom of heaven, God can only use us if we are properly equipped with the knowledge of his will for our lives. and then live according to his will. So when considering the story of the foolish and the wise men, as we read last week, we record how Jesus Christ said that the wise man who built his house upon the rock was likened unto a man who established his life upon the sayings of Jesus. And thus we see the words of Jesus being, as we have in the Word of God, the Bible, forms a rock-solid foundation upon which we base our lives, ensuring and securing a life of blessing by God. And our responsibility is to learn from the Bible what these sayings of Jesus are that make up the solid foundation. And so, as we go on in the many weeks ahead, praise the Lord, there we're going to start unpacking the very foundation principles of the oracles of God. I'm not going to go into it tonight, but we'll start next week by understanding, and maybe just as an introduction to what is the foundation principles that the apostles laid into believers' lives. And it's all there in the Word of God. And so we will discover the basic doctrines that Jesus taught, that he also taught through his apostles, as being the essential to form a good foundation for our Christian experience. And I was just thinking, just tonight, in fact, that, you know, when Abraham came before God, he was promised a huge, huge promise because God saw his faith. And that promise was about multitudes. Multitudes. In other words, as many as the stars are in the sky and the sand upon the shore, so would be his inheritance. And then think about it. Ishmael gets born. And that's because trying to make God's plan work according to your own abilities and your own strengths, faith diminishes when that takes place. But 3 years later, after Ishmael is born, and there's something significant about that, God speaks to Abram and he says, walk before me and be thou perfect. You see, Abram had to learn something. He had to learn obedience. He had to learn how to be perfect before the blessing would come. He had to receive the blessing. In other words, we get the word, but sometimes we still try and do it in our own strength. And we wonder why things are not happening. And then, although we've received it, someone needs to come again and say, this is how you walk in obedience. This is how you walk to become perfect. And guess what? God then honors that because he says to Abraham, he says, once you get to that stage, I will make a covenant with you. And I will bless you. We are now in the covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to bless us. Amen. Sandy, do you want to close in prayer for us tonight? In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we could draw aside at the close of this magnificent day here in Northern Ireland, Lord. Blue skies, sunshine, and joy filling our hearts, Father God, and just sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive from him. Lord, we thank you for Conrad, who faithfully ministers your word in our midst, Lord. We pray a blessing upon him tonight in the name of Jesus. Father God, thank you for everybody on this call tonight, Lord. Thank you for this congregation of the saints, Father God, in cyberspace. Thank you for these incredible times that we live in, where we can connect with our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, not only in different rooms, but in diverse locations in the same nation and in diverse locations throughout planet Earth. Father God, we are so humbled that you have chosen us to live in such a time as this.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we just pray that you would give increase to the word that was ministered in our midst tonight, that you would grant supernatural increase to each one of us, that we would be listeners and hearers and doers in the days and weeks and months ahead of us, Father God, the time that you have allotted for each one of us to run our individual races. Lord, I pray for each one of us that in the days and weeks and months ahead, that we would run our individual races well. That, Father God, as you look down upon us from your magnificent throne room, Lord, that we would bring joy to your divine heart, that we would bring you incredible joy, Lord. Conform us all into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, let us be salt and light wherever we live, wherever we move and have our being, whichever conversation we contribute to, Father God, whatever comment we find it necessary to launch into cyberspace and social media, Lord, let us be salt and light, Father God, and let us bring joy to your divine Father heart. Lord, as we close the teaching tonight, Father God, we pray that you would settle the word in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would saturate our beings with your shalom, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking, nothing disturbing our minds, nothing distressing us. Prince of Peace, would you take up residence in our hearts and in our homes, in our marriages, in our relationships, in our families, in our communities, and would you fill our hearts with your perfect peace as we look to you both now and in the days ahead for your perfect leading and your perfect counsel. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Messiah, our Healer, our Elder Brother, our Lord, and our soon returning King. Amen.
Amen. Because your word is settled in our hearts. Thank you, because the fundamentals of your word is taking root deep down. The fruits shall come forth for the pleasure of men, for the pleasure of God's people, for the pleasure of the kingdom of God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we just want to lift up your choice servants, Sandy and Comrade, into your hands. You have given them the grace to labor in your word and to share out of their overflow with us. You said, Lord, that the laborer shall be the first partaker. Father, even as this word has blessed me, as it has blessed us, I ask, Lord, that they shall be partakers, the first partaker of this blessing, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, because you're making them a name and a praise. Thank you because you're making us a name and a praise in all the earth. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.